This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
9 a.m. in the nation's capital. Once again, how lucky are we? Beautiful weather. I've got heavy metal. Who is coming off, and from what I've been hearing, man, you've been on a roll as always. And but happy to be side by side with you, my brother. And I know you've been industrial. It's the best word I can have for you. Industrial.
I'm in the middle of a 11-day work week, so yeah, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's what I say, man. That's you and Bobby Wagner, man, and industrial. Because you guys get the job done. Zach Ertz, veterans, getting paid and getting the job done. And I think is kind of good news on the football front. Hoops galore. You know, it's interesting. We talked a little bit about it last week. This time of the year is really golden. Whether or not you, how many people will have a problem with time today? Or have you encountered a time lapse yet?
I mean, I was working until midnight last night, and let me tell you, getting up this morning, I felt that lost hour, man.
yeah, falling back, springing forward, doing the whole nine yards, and then there will be a problem with the time. The question is, of the people that we know, who do you suspect will fall victim to this?
Like who's going to oversleep a little, you think?
Yeah, who do you think will fall victim?
I mean, you got to figure G from the shop first, right?
Well, you know, he loses an hour. So, yeah, he probably will not be part of our program today at all. This would be tough for him. I thought about you last night, UFC. What wasn't going on last night? Would be a good one. We got a big one for you today as well. We will NFL, from a marketing standpoint, the brilliance of it. Even though there are no games, they're never out of the news. They're never out of your consciousness. They're never not in your first block. No matter what the time of the year, they're the big dog. And just for free agency and movement, and I think on the Commanders front, it was really a solid week. I don't know where you stand with it, but I think security and your veteran, your influencers, one on offense, one on defense, and there's nothing more important than, you know, your kicking game, security in those areas, I think it was important. There's so much still in the air. We'll get our insider, Donna Hopkins, who'll join us bottom of the hour, to try to put some light on it. I mean, it's a moving target. It really is. And that, to me, I don't think you can resolve any of this until the actual season itself. But the fun part is just trying to keep up with it and see who catches real game changers. Because out of all this stuff, whether or not you watch the rookies or quarterbacks, who's up, who's down, we're not, obviously, we're secure at the most important position. But it is interesting, at least for me it is, to watch the process now when we're not on the respirator, when we're not quarterback dependent, when we're not desperate looking for that one because we've secured it, and now watching how everyone else shuffles that. And now our needs change, but how do we now protect this asset and enhance its abilities to maximize its gifts? Protection and throwing the enemy off his scent by not making it the primary threat by adding other weapons. And they've done that, Debo. That's a step in the right direction, another deal. But it's got to be, you know, and of course, they're not done. They're just getting started. But the strategy now is that, and that's kind of like the cool part to me, is that there's only so many resources. Now, what's the strategy? Do you go young? No, you need edge. Got to have protection. What's your remedy to curing this? It's not unlimited funds. You got some assets. And I think this is what separates the great programs from the average programs. We know we're solid now from top to bottom, upstairs, staff, all those boxes that we never checked, we check now. But now this is that pivot year. So what's your gut tell you? How do you get up? Shout out to Adrian Stevens, young man over at Bullis. Baller. State champion, the Bulldogs now, 52-37 victors, Maryland State champions, MVP. Is Marquette bound, flat out dog. And you're going to get you closer and closer to the source as we move forward, because we do have some insider information through the Wolverine Network. So keep your eyes and ears open for that. Lynn Elmore will join us today. Legend. Love this dude, man. Miss him on the air as a broadcaster, but just love him as an influencer and Terp. And he played in a game that, I mean, it's really the game that has been quoted, the game that changed college basketball. NC State and the Terrapins in a game that back in the day when only one team could go. Now we got the field and the field's expanding. But back in the day, it wasn't that way. And a lot of great players never got into the tournament. That game, painful for Terps alums, but Lynn will join us. And, of course, the Dr. Holder himself, who's working on a project that could even lend more insights to that, will join us in the 11 o'clock hour. Metal, you okay? I'm not used to a quiet heavy metal. You, but then again, you are mortal. See, I never look at you as a mortal. So to you, you see, I mean, you exhausted, you quiet, you good?
I'm doing good. I had a good day yesterday, so, you know.
All right, girls, all the women in your life are...
Oh, yeah, we all went out to dinner last night before I went to work, and that was a good time. They were all just out of dance class, so there's pizza joint in there and their leotards and stuff.
There's always something that's griping you. I couldn't wait to get you on the microphone again because this deal with the stance you would take on LeBron and Stephen A, and which something usually gets under your skin, something irritates you to a bit. And I was wondering what entered your little backyard?
You know, it kind of reminded me of the Bradley Beal thing recently with like his wife and getting mad about someone yelling in front of his kid or whatever. Now, I know LeBron's kid is in the league or the G League or whatever he's doing now. And yeah. It's a little different than Bradley Beal's kid, who's just like a toddler or something. But it did kind of remind me of this thing where it's like, I think sometimes these athletes get yelled at and whatever. Now, this is a little different. He's talking about Stephen A. Smith saying stuff on air versus just like a fan yelling, you know, near his kid or something. But I think at the end of the day, it kind of has the same effect on the father, on the parent role here. Where there's sort of this unwelcome criticism on a main, you know, in a way that they really didn't appreciate. Now, I don't, a lot of people are mad that LeBron confronted him. I don't really care that LeBron confronted him on the court side. It's not like he was pushing him or trying to start something physical with him. That would have been another thing. But
you have to whisper. Don't think he had his number.
I know some people have been oh, he should have waited till a press conference or called him up or whatever. I'm like, I don't know, man. I've definitely had points where someone bothered me. You kind of put it away. You don't think about something they did or maybe they said on social media. Then you see them in person. In a day or two later, or a week later, or something, and all that stuff comes back, and you just think of it in the moment, and you're like, "Oh man, I forgot I'm mad at this guy. This guy was saying some stuff, I don't know. I can feel that. I guess I don't know. Some of it's I guess the kids.
Even if a guy is telling the truth, even if a guy is in a position where his opinion is paid for his opinion.
Well, I mean,
at some point,
Stephen A. Smith is known to be an instigator too, though.
In this arena, isn't there? I don't know. Maybe it's just Bron.
I mean, Stephen A. Smith is known to be an instigator. That's how he gets ratings, is he makes these statements that, stir the pot and stuff. And that's why he's got his own show in there, Stephen A. List and all that stuff, because, he's very good at that. And I think it's just another case of that. Sometimes, sometimes the people you're talking about come back and say something to you. That's just kind of how that goes when that's your job, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. No, people.
It would be different if LeBron had been physical with him.
Yeah, people that are famous that may go through this, but I'm just interested in it. I think it. I think I could defend either side if I felt like it.
Sure.
I just think it goes with it.
Is anything he said worse than
money?
Joan Rivers criticizing someone's dress on the red carpet of the Oscars, which she used to do all the time? Is anything she said anything Stephen A. Smith said worse than something like that? I don't know.
What's wrong with the money, though? If you get $7 million a year, isn't there something that's attached with that? As a professional player, people that have high-risk positions or jobs. All I'm saying is that how many people would trade, to get however much he's making?
Oh, yeah.
To play,
you
want to
pay me like Bronny's getting paid? You guys can make fun of me all you want on air.
Yeah,
I do not care.
I'm asking the question: is that doesn't some of this come along with being in the position that you want to be in? I mean, if you really wanted to go do the homework and look, man, the kid had a problem at SC and he missed some time, but they decided to put him on this lot on this. Rabbit wheel, he could have set back and taken time to heal, but his father wanted him on this timetable to meet his father's needs. So you can look at it, and then that's his prerogative.
That might be part of it, but I also find it very hard as anyone that plays basketball. If the Lakers come knocking, you're just going to go, nah, I'm going to wait a year. I don't want to play for the Lakers.
I get it. I'm just, without even saying what's right or wrong, I'm just saying, doesn't some of this go along with being a pro?
It does. And it's also a weird situation because usually when a player is being criticized, they don't have their dad also on the team. Did the Griffies ever go through this? I don't know.
Sure. I'm just saying, but to be gifted enough to be eligible to be on the team. It's not a matter of how good or bad. He's good enough to be in the running for this. He's good enough to be considered privileged. We understand what that's like. But I just thought it was interesting. Now, is Bron a porcupine? Maybe. I've already, Dr. Sabah sent some video this morning about last night they played the C's and unfortunately, and now we'll never know because Bron had a groin. And so, when the indestructible one goes down, all bets are off. So now we'll never know. But he was out. Luke was there. C's win at home. And there was a particular play where Tatum goes by and he looks like somebody shot him with a bazooka. It looks worse than anyone to soccer fouls I've ever seen. And it's just, sometimes, you know, he's the biggest, strongest, fastest human in the world, and then other times he looks like, you know, somebody
light as a feather.
Like, yeah, it's just amazing. It's amazing. And I can see sometimes the hardest thing with Bron is being neutral. How do you be neutral? But you kind of, you know, you have to be at some point and say, well, you judge it for yourself. I think he's dealt with this all his life. There's so many different courts and who's this GOAT stuff and Mike and through different eras. I mean, you got to respect the guy's commitment. And I always go, well, aren't you just doing your job? Is it your job to be in shape? But we've seen there's a lot of pros that aren't in shape. A lot of people that have cheated themselves in their careers and have talked about it afterwards and, you know, have to come back and sometimes apologize. Everyone's built, you're designed, they're motivated, they have different goals, things that nothing's cookie cutter. Everybody needs a team. That's why the team dynamic thing is so rare. And that's why DQ and the Commanders had such an amazing trip and season because all of these factors came together and how hard it is. Now that you think you have that recipe in trying to improve upon it and see if you can continue it. That's what this year to me is all about. And so interesting. And I remember the Texans, all the excitement, enthusiasm. I don't know what you think about day to day, but I remember the momentum, how hot the Texans were. And that second year, now we're in that second year, and you start thinking that what do we need to do? What needs to happen? Looking at it around. No, I'm paying attention now. I'm paying attention to every, especially in our sports. How can you not? And if you didn't see any of the Rock the Red, the whole Rock the Red movement and the victories and the whole idea of going down two goals to none and seeing how a team that kind of can fix itself, you know, you got to have that ability sometimes. You don't know if you have it or not till the team proves it. You could literally see that the Red Wings came in with momentum, or they came in with, and when people play the Capitals now, you can see it. Desperation, fear, they're trailing, they're the big dog. You get everybody's A shot. That's what's going to happen to the Commanders.
You saw that Red Wings game the other night, though. They were down.
That's my whole
2-0 or whatever in
that's
the first
my whole
5
point.
Minutes, and they just came back and slammed them.
But you see a fight. But you see now that the Caps showed me they know how to push their own button. They could sense it. They were flat for whatever you call flat on the ice, but they weren't. They didn't have what they needed to get themselves going. And they score, what, like 4 unanswered goals? I mean, it's like blitz. And you got to understand, to be a really special team, you have to understand how to work yourself from within. You can't do it after the game. It's too late. To do it in game? Amazing. Amazing. And I'm looking at this thing going, no matter the sport, and you don't know what the combination is, to a lesser degree with the Wizards, you get guys who have a pedigree, guys who know what it's like to win. It's that combination. And everybody's hunting for it, man. Everybody's hunting for it. How do you get it? And then, look at St. John's now. And Marquette, if you saw that one, what a game. What a game. We're going to have Lynn Elmore on. And I thought, for me, the Terrapins, the Michigan State thing, I was disappointed. Beautiful setup. I mean, everything's set. But once again, when you 0-for-7 against somebody, that's not a rivalry. Michigan State is not a rivalry if you 0-for-7. You got to beat a big dog to be a big dog. And that's why I love what the Terps did. Going out, get the win. The two bigs What they impressed me with is they played big in the paint. I don't care how big you are, how tall you are, you got to have some presence in the paint. And the bigs did, and they did. Beat Wolverine. I was pleased with that. Can't wait to talk to Lynn about that. And then that time of the year, I don't know how much you weigh, how much you lost this weekend, but you're not heavy better.
No,
I know you played the game a little bit.
Nothing this weekend, trust me.
Yeah, nothing this week. Okay. Because I was thinking, man, this is
now, March Madness rolling around here soon.
I know it. I love March Madness. Watch Auburn, Alabama. I'm watching this. I'm going, man, these SEC schools, all this, it's not just talk. People are getting after it, man. I mean, getting it after it. And exciting. And then there is what's caught my attention is Brother Metcalf, DK Metcalf. He's a dude, man. He's a dude. Difference maker. He's a chip. So a lot, man, there's so much circulating. I mean, it is. I seem like we say this a lot about the time of the year. But this man, I don't recall. Well, we've been terrible for so long during this time of the year. We're usually hunting quarterbacks, coaches. So we're this is rare air that we're actually not talking about doing a teardown. And we're actually just talking about painting. You know, we're like painting the trim. As before, we were like knocking down walls. Now we're getting to the delicacy, small items of we just improvement. And this is different, but I like this. I do. I like this. I really do. And then John Allen. And shout out to John. Hey, it's a business. It's a business. You don't always get to play where you grew up. Flat out pro. Wish him nothing but the best.
I'll tell you, one of the things I'm going to miss the most about him leaving is those segments he would do on the Junkies the games. He's a great player and all, but he's also just so articulate and educated about the game, and it was really fun listening to him talk about, win or lose, what they had done the week before, you know, on the Junkies in the mornings. I'm going to miss that, too, because I loved listening to that guy, too. So
it was good. He was good. Their program, they've done a great job. The shows are, I think Eckler with Grant and Danny has been, that was one of the best rides with a in-season athlete that I heard ever. And you get good stuff, man. And you know what? It's when guys are comfortable and they know that you care about the content. And that's half the battle, just knowing that you actually care about what you're asking about. And I think that's good. Now, but, you know, we kind of stripped down. We didn't have a lot of football players. You know, 1 year contracts, all that, it matters. I mean, we really are, it's going to be a different team. As much success as it was, I mean, you're doing not a total rebuild, but you are doing it's going to be a lot different. A lot different, but your presence, your core is intact. That's why I think the Wagner and Ertz signings, your leaders, veterans who lead by example, don't talk it, they walk it, is really important. But now these unicorns, and I mentioned, I don't know where you stand on DK Metcalf, so I'll ask you, what's your take on DK?
I mean, we just got Debo. I don't know.
All right, well, hold that thought. Let's take a break. I want to know what you think about that. I see I got under your skin a little bit. And we'll ask that question about it. He's different. I like him a lot. I think he's a chip. Interesting to see how, I don't know if it works in here. Do know, rush in, protecting the quarterback. I mean, you can just go through a laundry list. But that's what we do right here on Overtime. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Back in a moment. Free agency. Ah, is there another unicorn out there? I'm talking about wide receivers, and then there's wide receivers. Debo, yeah, he's nice. DK Metcalf, different animal. Different animal. So I'll ask you, Metal, what do your scouts tell? What do you got on your big board? You mentioned Debo. You put Debo and Metcalf in the same pool?
Well, I don't know about that, but I will say we did just get Debo. We have our two receiver. We've got Terry already. I don't know that. Look, I love the fun bunch, but I don't know that we're at the point where that's what we need right now. And I also look, Debo may not be the same level of receiver, but I think his personality is going to fit the Dan Campbell style of football very well. I think he's that kind of dude. I don't know if DK is or not, but I'm pretty sure Samuel's going to fit right in with this team.
Well, it's all about fit, man. Thinking about fit, and we will find out. One of the questions will run by Donna Hopkins. We talk more about the Commanders as we continue right here on The Fan. Stay with us. Donna Hopkins, Commanders beat. It's never time off. When do you take time off? Seems like the league doesn't. But I know, having been on that beat, man, nothing like action, and you've got action. Probably the most, I would venture to say, we've had early this time of the year, other than changing staffs or losing ownership. I mean, it's never a dull moment on the Commander's beat. How are you, Donna?
Great, Doc. You can't afford to take any time out. That's the reason why I landed at the Combine this year, because, you know, to look at where this team is looking to head this year, because as the coaches told me, is that you got to build from what you had last year. So that 12-5 season last year, you got to put that behind you and move forward as far as what does the building block look like this year for this Commanders team. So like you said, it's never a dull moment, because this ownership and this front office, feet is on the ground, really moving forward.
Chris and I have discussed, say, that nugget, that free agent, whether it's a rush in, whether it's a pass protector, whether it's a running back or a corner. But some of the names, when DK Metcalf's name come up, I had a sparkle in my eye. Where does he rank? When I say Metcalf, what does that do to your people, your staff, McGee and company? How favorable is he with the old guy?
Hey, you know what? The old guy is always looking at defensive linemen, because to Tony, that's where this Commanders team needs to focus on at this point moving forward. I understand with the Debo Samuels acquisition, that's great, signing Bobby Wagner's back and Ertz and what they've done so far. But they haven't really addressed, in our book, some of the much-needed areas on this team as far as games are won in the trenches. So you look at the offensive line side of the ball, with Cosme probably being out at the beginning of the season with that ACL injury, still going to be recovering from that, and you've got to shore up a tackle position also on the offensive line and beef it up a little bit more. And then we go over to the defensive line, where they definitely need to address there, and that's where I would be hitting the home run at this point. I know we're talking about Metcalf, another receiver, but you just got Debo Samuels, but you haven't addressed some of the key position areas that we know need to improve moving forward, and that's getting a pass rusher. You talked about that a little bit, about that, and you look at the run defense of the Commanders last year, and I thought John Allen was classy as far as his letter, his statement that he left as far as all he wanted to do for this team is win. But we know that this is a business. So I was telling someone last year at training camp, they said, oh, we don't let go number one draft picks. And I said, nobody is safe. A week later, you had Dahan Dotson gone to Philadelphia. So nobody is safe on this team except the quarterback, because if you are going to get better, you can't be emotionally tied to players. How do you get better? The defense last year on the run were dead last as far as stopping the run. So that's the reason why I said you've got to start in the trenches on that defensive side of the ball in dressing a pass rusher. And then you've got to get somebody. I know Johnny Newton last year, they signed him. And he should be better this year in his second year. That's what Coach Quinn talked about a little bit at the combine, is these second-year players, the coaches are still going to be working with them. They should be much better. But we've got to get you measure yourself, Doc, by Philadelphia Eagles defense and what they did to the Kansas City Chiefs. They took the Kansas City Chiefs top offense, Patrick Mahomes and all that those guys, and they demolished them. I mean, Carter was taking on two players that could not handle him. Washington last year couldn't take on one player and handle them. So you've got to start in the trenches, and that's what we're talking about on Tony McGee's Pro Football Plus TV show is, you know, Tony is talking about defense.
Yeah, it is. Donna Hopkins kicking with DOC Heavy Metal here on overtime, but it still has to be discussed. John Allen out, but Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz, two leaders, who guys who stepped their games up, still have something in the tank. I think this was important on a couple of fronts. Number one, they can still play. If not, I need you as an assistant coach. I don't need coaches in uniforms. These guys can still play. They're still making plays. But they desperately need help around them.
Oh, definitely. And I think that's one reason why you saw these two guys re-sign. And Zach was talking about last year that this last year was the first time he felt like, you know, to come to a team where he could be utilized. And they really did use him a lot. And his experience goes a long way. And as you say, he still has game in the tank. And the same thing with Bobby Wagner. He was so valuable on that team last year. And even this year, he didn't even think about in his press conference and looking at other teams. You know, he could have been courted by Pete Carroll out there with the Raiders, but this team fits him. And I think he's looking at what this team did this last year and the coaching staff and where he sees, envisioned this team going this year. And he adds so much to that defense. We talked about, you know, him having more in the tank. And not only that, the coaches valued his input on the field also, because he called a lot of plays himself when he was on the field. As they say, he was the coach on the field. So you can't buy that kind of experience anywhere. So why would you not sign him back? But the key thing you said, you got to put some pieces around these guys if they're going to be successful moving forward this year, because this is a whole new regime. When you look at this Commander's schedule this year, you better put together some building blocks on this team.
Yeah, I was telling Metal, I mean, this next campaign is a whole new ball game. It has, I mean, and first of all, how you're viewed, you've got the your opponent, and just the fact that you strike fear where people probably didn't take you serious, that's over. But I think they're ready for that. And I think a lot of that happened throughout the last part of last year. They weren't sneaking up on people. People knew who they were. You could see it on film. So one thing about a film's not lying. It's no sound on it. So they're just looking at you, and they can tell. It's going to be very interesting. We talked about DK Metcalf. And I haven't heard a lot about our dear friend 95 defensive end up in Cleveland. Do you think it's died down, or people are still just negotiating quietly?
Yeah, I think that what you learned from this front office with Adam Peters and Lance and all of that company last year is, unlike many people, they talk too much. They tell people what they're going to do. And you're not going to get that out of this ownership right now, because they're quiet when they're negotiating and what they're doing. I mean, Deebo Samuels, I mean, it was out there a little bit because you could probably see him coming here just because of the relationships that he had with some of the ownership here and players here. But when you're really talking about what the Commanders are doing, they're keeping everything tight in that room. But I think the conversation still is going forward, not only with Cleveland, but Cincinnati possibly. But Cleveland's situation is a little ugly right now between the player and ownership right now, because they're not even trying to compensate. And that's going to be a situation where Mal Garrett may set out the season because he wants to be traded that bad. But, you know, you get a top defensive guy that Cincinnati is saying, and Henderson, they said, okay, you can go out there and look at the market too. And this is a guy that had 35 so sacks in two seasons. So you would want to be like, oh, let me open my eyes up to this guy also, because this is a possibility. But the Commanders are keeping tight lips, because out at the combines, it's funny, Rick, in past years, you wouldn't even hear anybody talking about Commanders. Let me tell you, that was the hot topic out there. People, you know, was talking to you about the Commanders. I mean, that was the top knot with respect now, respect for the Commanders right now. But I think for the Commanders right now, within the draft, as what I heard out there with the draft and you know, looking at getting the defensive linemen are the top notch in the draft this year. Their quarterback was heavy last year, and defensive linemen on the defense side of the ball is tops in the draft. So if you don't get a Myles Garrett, which I think that he would be great because this is a proven pass rusher, or one of the other guys that are, you know, as far as free agency goes, but you could get some players within the draft too. Maybe not proven, but it's a top class this year as far as defensive linemen.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it's good. I was telling Metal when we started off today, NFL, I mean, Brutus, bully, no games, still dominate headlines. In the middle of your, no matter what you've got going on, they're never an afterthought. They stay right in the middle of the game. And we appreciate your insight. And like I say, it never ends. So we'll talk to you next week on the
Always
beat
good.
With the Commanders.
Sounds good. See you all later.
Right. Thank you. Donna Hopkins. Skeletos on the beat, talking burgundy and gold. And NFL all the way around the boat. We will take a break. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. And just like we like it, man. We're in the know. We've had a facelift. We've come out a completely different creature. And now we're hungry and we want more. Don't forget, top of the hour, Lynn Elmore joined us, talking some round ball. Those of you that were around back in 1974, you remember the game, ACC Championship, between the Terps and NC State. We'll talk about that and a lot more. Stay with us. Appreciate Donna Hopkins talking ball with us, top of the hour. Lynn Elmore. And we're going back in a time where the rules, before the rules were changed, this March Madness was a completely different animal. And if you didn't win the league, you were cooked. You couldn't advance. It was brutal. It was brutal. I remember watching that game, man. That 74 ACC championship game, Maryland, NC State. It's crazy, man. It was really rock'em sock'em. And having been on if you've ever lost a game of importance, you know what that's like. It's and for a senior on your last shot, man, that's brutal. But it happened. Now, obviously, you know, guys go on, they have great careers, move on, do great things, but that's the one you can't get back. It's like I say, the championship games. You lose an NFC championship game or AFC championship game. It's got to be, it's worse than losing the Super Bowl to me. Because no matter what, you still had the week and the experience of being in it. It's painful as all get out, but you at least have that. But to be denied that chance to have that week is painstaking. In any case, whatever it is, that's brutal. Boy, that's tough. But that's why we like it. That's why we like seeing people going after it. And like these conference championships, what's going on right now in hoops, men's and women's side, man, it's just amazing the emotion and the shots. And the, you don't have to beg people to play defense during this time of year. Everybody's going all out. It's going to be worth the price of admission. I cannot wait to see it. And it's going to be every game, every league, doesn't matter what or where. It's just going to be getting after it. And that's the beauty of it. And then our town right now, Metal, you may not be ready for this or not, but we're talking a lot about winning.
I'm ready.
I don't know if you've
I'm ready for this. On it.
But no, we're talking a lot about winning. Now, these local teams collecting dubs. And even with Alex's deal about chasing a record, they're still picking up dubs.
And the Caps are absolutely on fire. It's almost,
oh my God,
it's almost like his goal scoring thing is kind of a side note at this point.
It is. It is. Because it seems so good. And making moves. And there's so much fun to watch because of the physicality of the game. For me, is as the NFL protects and lightens up the NHL, we still see just power. Power and speed. Still policed. I mean, still, you know, got to do it by the rules. But just the idea that there's a sport you can literally take the gloves off, drop them, and fight. That, to me, is still wild.
The only major sport you can literally get into a fist fight with your opponent, and neither player is going to be thrown out of the game.
No, think about it. And then it's over. No hard feelings. I mean, it's shows you what we're capable of doing if we put our minds to it. We can be, you know, primal. We can snap in, snap out. I don't know if any other sport could comport itself, and then we still the same people, which I think is the craziest thing of everything we do in all of sports, is baseball. Allowing people to run from a bullpen all the way to a mound with a weapon. That, I will never be able to figure that one out. Never, ever, ever. But the hockey thing to me is really cool. I really like it. And the way they've been honoring the 50th year. The whole idea of this, you can't help it, you know, when you celebrate these events as a team, how cool is it when the team is really good? If they sucked, it would still be the 50th year.
Yeah, I remember, two seasons ago was an anniversary for the Wizards from, like, when they changed the name to the Wizards, I think, maybe 25 years or something.
You can remember it.
I went to one of the games where they were celebrating it is why I remember specifically. And I know, you know, they're talking about all these, like, they weren't talking about the whole time as the Bullets. Now, this is just, like, Wizards highlights, of which there are not that many. You know, I feel like the best team was probably that Gilbert Arenas era that got blown up because of all the controversy and stuff that he pulled. Yeah. And then maybe what? Like the Weber era before that? And then that's kind of it, right? Yeah. Like, there's just not a lot to... And it's not like those teams are winning championships, you know?
No, but it was some excitement getting the playoff. I remember the Bulls playoff game at the arena. It was... there's been some moments. There have been some good games
and good moments and stuff. And I remember they used to have LeBron's number on the Cavs early. You know, every time he'd come to town, they'd just somehow beat him no matter how good they were. But even so, I think the Caps, you know, having won that championship fairly recently and just having such a long stretch here with Ovechkin, they've just been they've been contenders for a while. You know, they don't win every year, but they're at least in the mix, it feels like, most years. Yeah. And this is just another one of those years where they seem to be just on the upswing. And it's a great year to have that anniversary feeling, you know?
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. But I thought the Rock the Red, it was very, very, very well done. It just, you can just tell the way they do things, it matters. And great support. But on that, my friend, we'll charge, take a break, get ready to come to top of the hour, and we'll be joined by a former Terp who is a man I have a great deal of respect for. It's almost cruel to bring him in and then bring back a tough memory for him. But I think he enjoys just talking, reminiscing about the great group of guys he played with at the University of Maryland. So stay with us.